We're going to talk about unleavened bread. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Let's find out about Passover. Let's see what the Word says, and then we're going to take it from there. This is what was said in the beginning. You're all familiar with it, but like I said, we're going to do it by the numbers. Exodus chapter 12. I tell you what, while everybody's turning there, you quickies, turn back to chapter 9, verse 5 of Exodus. And it reads, "And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land." That's a very... God never does anything without foretelling His prophets, that is to say, through the Word, and there's a set time for it. And that becomes paramount. It is that set time that we're interested in, because all else is filth. Not saying it isn't important, but it's just filth to kind of confuse those that do not have eyes to see. So set times and learn how to distinguish those set times. Chapter 12, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying," naturally, you know, they're in the captivity, "this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you." Now, the first year that was spent on the ark in the Hebrew is logged in a one solar year. And Passover naturally comes 14 days after the beginning of the year. When is the beginning of the year? Every year, it's the spring equinox. Now, man's calendars, moons, months, do you realize that when we changed calendars to our present one, they dropped 10 or 11 days? Just didn't fit, just threw them out. Well, where does that leave you from day overall? But the old sun comes up every morning, it goes down every night, has the same number of turns, but the moon gets kind of confused. You know, it just flits about and it doesn't make a circle every 30 days. Well, I'm sorry, it does. It's 29 hours and 29 days and so many hours, all right? But that'll goof you up. But hey, you got the sun, and it's dependable. So this is the year we're talking about. The new year begins at spring equinox. You all know what the equinox is, don't you? That's when the earth is equal with the sun shadowing, you know, the whole earth or part of it, and then it begins to tilt. And that puts, in the wintertime, us away from the sun, and what happens? It's colder. Okay. And then in the summer, the spring equinox, it begins to tilt to the sun, and what happens? Gets hot, okay? So every symbol that I have ever found from ancient travelers, do you know what calendar they used? Solar. Because the sun is dependable. Now, our people have been so long in the night and in the darkness that we kind of forget how to count. That's a different subject for a different time. Anyway, we got the new year. Let's see what happens here. Verse 3. "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb of..." Usually figured about ten people to the lamb, maybe. 4. "And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." Now, I've known old boys that could just about put a lamb away by themselves. You know, they could tanker away. So that's something we just figure on our own. Okay, 5. "Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats." You're going to pick it on what day? The 10th. And naturally, this looks forward to Christ. This is why that Christ's leg could not have been broken on the cross and they simply pierced him in the side. Because there couldn't be a broken bone or a blemish. It would not have aligned with God's word. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Now this really gets complicated, doesn't it? So many people write books about Passover and when it should be, and a child can understand this. 14 days after the year begins. You know, that, I mean, just that simple. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Get that little old lamb. And 4 more days. 1, 2, 3, 4. But when did the day start? In the evening. But what time? Sundown. So what's that date set by also? The sun. All right. The sun. That began the day on the 14th day of the new year at sundown. It began. You can count it the 13th day at sundown. You're in the 14th. All right. So, and what verse was I on there? And okay, we got, and you shall, verse 6, let's go to there. You shall keep it the 14th day, we got that. 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, 7. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat. Now, let's get really technical, okay? You got a house today, right? But really, what does your soul dwell within? This house. This house. Within this flesh body, all right? That is your house, spiritually speaking. It doesn't hurt to anoint your abode, that is to say, the bricks, mortar, sticks, with the oil of our people to order anything away from it. But think a little bit higher than that. This is your house. Okay? Verse 8. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. There, we've got that unleavened bread right in there. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. The bitter herbs, of course, standing for the bitter slavery that they had been under. And I'm going to tell you what, it can get a little bitter in this old world today as you serve, too, all right? 9, eat not of it raw, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence, that's to say the insides thereof. 10, and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. You're going to sacrifice it. Okay? 11. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So, what does that... He's giving us something here that man can see, can feel. That means, man, you're in a hurry. You're ready. Right? You're ready to go. Well, if this happens to be your house, and we know what our lamb is now. I hope I never have to teach that. You know what it is. It's Christ. I don't know. Are you ready? That's what Passover is about. Have you got it? Are you ready for action? It's a time for honing and to be prepared to cross over into what? The promised land, of course. Now, I'm not trying to get a comet ship ready to go here or anything like that. You all know of which level I speak, okay? But that means to be prepared. You've got to know. Let's look at it in a military sense. You've got to know what kind of battle you're going into, what weaponry the enemy uses, and what you have to utilize to beat him. Because we always go out to win, not to lose. I mean, we look at it like there is no possibility, because that's just the way it is with Christians. We're not going to lose. Somebody might slow us down a little bit occasionally, but we'll get back up to speed. So, be ready. And the only way you can be ready is to have it cocked and loaded right up here. I'm talking about your brain. Cocked and loaded. I just happened to think, what a picture that must have made. Boy, what a weekend. Okay. Have the seal of God in your brain. That means inside your forehead. Then you're ready. Until then, hey, you're duck soup. You ain't nobody until you're ready. Because they're going to take you out. You're going to be deceived. Because you don't know which way to go. You don't know what God's plan is if it's not loaded. You don't know how to serve Him. He can't use you that way. And here you go. You'll have these old-time religions. But all you got to do is be saved. Don't you know? Saved. Saved from what? Saved from confusion, ignorance, deception. And Christ has it all available for you to eat and to partake of and place right in here so that you're well equipped. I mean, one of the best equipped armies in the world as far as who our enemy is and what we're going to do to him. All right? Verse 12. For with that house marked, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. What he's saying here, there are no gods there. I'm God. That's what he's saying there. When he says, I am Yahweh, that means there are no other powers. There are no other gods. And that's what I'm going to do to them. And 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now let's update this to the New Testament. When Satan is given his marching orders by this same Father in Revelation chapter 9, what did he tell him he could not do in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4? Don't you dare try to touch one of those that have the seal of God in their forehead. Why? He can't fool us. We know he's coming. We know what his plan is. He hadn't got a prayer. Because we know who he is and he's on our list. So that's why it's important that you have that mark in your forehead. All right? God recognizes that. Satan can do nothing about it because God will not allow it. Verse 14, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial. You'll always remember it. That's why we're here today. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now be sharp for me. Did it say you will keep it as a law forever? No. It said ordinance. And you've got to know the difference between ordinances, statutes, and law as you load this. Okay? This being an ordinance. 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Boy, there it is. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Hey, that's pretty serious. And that's why we have so many questions about unleavened bread. Boy, that doesn't leave too many ends open, does it? And that sounds like, to me, that if you have leaven, and you know, what is leaven? What is it in Hebrew? It means something, the word really The etymology of it is to rise up, to raise. You've seen Mama make them biscuits. She puts in a little soda and buttermilk and throws some Clabber Girl baking powder in there. And or if she's making yeast bread, you know, you put it in there and it's all patted down and it just, up it comes. It's a form of fermentation. But the prime word is to raise or to rise. Okay? Don't have any of it in your house. And of course, the first in this sense, how long did it take your mama? How did she let, how long did she have to let that bread rest, you know, so it would rise? Too long, friend. If you got to wait for your bread to rise, I'm sorry, you missed the boat. So you make the bread without the leaven, and that old flat stuff, seemed like if I ever try to make biscuits, that's what I get. You know? And I mean, there it is. You know? But you're ready. That, in other words, which is most important, to be ready or the bread? What he's saying is, don't let something hold you up. So don't lose sight of that point. Verse 16, and in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. That's a Sabbath, of course. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. That's why priests work on Sabbaths and every day of the week, because they're supposed to feed, all right? And everybody's got to eat. So you Christians that are seed planters, I'm sorry. A lot of people can rest. You can't. You got to feed. And I'm talking about God's Word. 17. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. It didn't say maybe. It said you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Again, ordinance, not law. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 20th day of the month, at even. 19. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Doesn't matter. That's it. Zip. Cut off. Snip. Verse 20. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take ye a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. That's something you might make a mental note of when we get right down to the nitty-gritty. When the death angel passes over, don't go out unless he sends for you. Okay? The word to the wise is sufficient. 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. Boy, that sounds like it's pretty well sealed. And if you didn't go deeper into the Word, you might settle for that. You might say, well, that's it. It's forever. Boy, forever is ever, and that's it. Then I would ask you a question. Are the blood ordinances still in effect? Answer, no. Why? Because Christ became that. He shed all the blood that should ever be shed for any and all times as a sacrifice for our sins. It would be an insult to God if you were to take a goat and offer its blood after Yeshua gave his life's blood. It would be an insult to the highest degree. So you want to be real careful about ordinances. You might think you're doing right, but you could be offending God in a great way because you didn't keep up. Turn with me now to the great book of Colossians in the New Testament. Book of Colossians. And we're going to start in chapter 2. Does it seem warm in here to you all?
Yes.
Don't worry, I'm going to get it a lot hotter before it's over with. They're working on it, but do you realize that each one of us puts out 400 BTU? You know what BTU is. And you multiply this by 400, and I've got me a raging furnace in here. But it'll catch up with us here. All right. Let's begin with the 11th verse, chapter 2, Colossians, New Testament. And it's speaking of Christ being that sacrifice, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In other words, this circumcision was a blood sacrifice. The circumcision without hands is when Christ comes into your heart. It's both male and female. In other words, he took the place of that. Not that there's anything wrong with circumcision, but you can no longer call it a religious thing. It isn't. Or you would be insulting God in that sense. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen. Risen. Look, there's that word leaven again. What it means to rise. With him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him. Raised. There's that old leaven going at it again, isn't it? Raised him from the dead. And you, verse 13, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. Quickened means made alive. Together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And that word is all. I don't care what you've done, when he forgives you, you're forgiven. Blotting out the handwriting of the law, correct me, don't let me get away with that, ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us. It is tough. Hard to keep up with them. Hard to go by them. 14th and new moon, the old moon, and the crossed over moon, and is that goat there? Is it good? The sheep, the is it perfect? It's hard. Okay. And took it out of the way. What did he do with it? Nailed it to his cross. Friend, let me give you a warning. Don't ever in your life try to pick up something and carry it by yourself that Christ nailed to the cross, or it will crush you. God will come down on you like a ton of brick because you don't respect His Son. You don't respect His death on the cross, which was accomplished for you to do away with it. Better said, to fulfill it. Be careful concerning ordinances. 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, that means Satan's powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, in himself. In other words, he beat him. So what are you worried about? If you have that blood on your house door, you haven't got anything to worry about.
Oh, but I'm just kind of naturally the cowardly type. I don't like to say cowardly type. I just like to say I like to worry a little bit.
Shame on you. Shame on you. You don't have anything to worry about. There are no giants in the world as far as we're concerned. We take over. We're can-do type people. Why? He did it for us. It's not us doing it. You're just a little old soul he's using. He did the work. It's his work. And he done a lot for you. Verse 16, let no man, now how many is that? Let no man therefore judge you in meat, that means bread, or food, or in drink.